Thank you for joining with us this evening as we share the gospel together. And we do trust that the Lord will draw near to your heart and grant to you that you will have prayers answered in the salvation of loved ones. And if you're not saved today, that the Lord might speak to your heart through his word. You might see clearly your need of him, and that you might come today to trust him as your saviour. I do want first of all to apologise to each one that there still is a little bit of noise. I know that as we are recording, and also this evening we have a little bit of a light problem, so we're a little bit in the dark. But we do trust that you bear with us, and we're hoping that this is our final Sunday evening broadcast on Facebook, because we are hoping next week to be back in church. Could I say to the congregation, there are just one or two announcements that you need to be aware of. Please do remember that on Wednesday evening, God willing, we will be showing a video that it'll be a deputation meeting for Andy Foster and his wife, who are involved in the work of Uganda, and the offering in its entirety will go to their support. And also next Sunday, God willing, we will be in our church for both of the meetings at 11:30, the worship service, then for the gospel meeting at 6:30, and I trust to be there in the will of the Lord to bring the word of God on both occasions. Then we're looking forward to Easter time, and while it will still be somewhat different to what we're used to in the evening time, there will be singers along, and maybe some friends will come along and visit with us as well. But we trust that everyone will know the Lord's blessing today, and we do trust that as we pray one for another, that the Lord will bring us out of this pandemic soon, and that those who are laid aside might know a special blessing even this evening. So could we bow together just before we read the word of God and we meditate upon it together, please. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness to us today. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we seek thee, thou art found. And as far as our acceptance with thee is concerned, every place then is hallowed ground. And Lord, we do rejoice in all that you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit, which opened our eyes and showed us our sin. Thank you for thy word, which, Lord, teaches us that man has a way back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for him who said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Lord, we thank thee today for God's people. Thank you, Lord, for Christian fellowship and for those who know that it's well with their soul, even for those who are listening to the broadcast and they are able to rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven. We pray that you would lead each one on with thyself, that you would meet the need of every home. Remember those who are unwell, connected with our church, and some connected with their families. We pray that the Lord would perfect that which concerns them. For those that are not saved this evening, may God in mercy deal with their heart. And may this be a night of great turning to the Lord. And to that end, we pray now you'd undertake the preaching of thy word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you could turn with me, please, in your Bible to Luke's Gospel and chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, please. Again, we do apologise to you that what you're seeing looks a little bit dark, and we are struggling with the light here, but we trust that the volume isn't too bad, and that the little noise that you hear in the background will not be too off-putting for you. Again, we welcome you if you're connected with Agilifri Presbyterian Church. But wherever you're from, we do thank you very much indeed for tuning in to this meeting. It's Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had hidden him, had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. In Isaiah's gospel in chapter 53 is a wonderful passage of God's word, and it reminds us of something. Well, we do not forget it if we're believers, but something that we all need to take note of. In verse 6 of Isaiah 53, we're reminded, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That verse reminds us that mankind is all guilty. And as mankind is all guilty, mankind is all and individually accountable. And in that way, Scripture unites unsaved men and women. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7 and in verse 20, we read these words there. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And dear unconverted listener this evening, if you can really understand and accept that statement, then you're on good ground to see a change in your life and a change for good. We're all united as sinners by nature. And yet before us here in Luke's Gospel and chapter 7, there is this woman. And it seems that she stood out. Well, she did stand out. She stood out as a living portrait to what sin can do to a person, and to how far away from that which is moral and that which is right it can bring them, and to how far down sin can compel men and women to go. And while her initial state was outstanding in the eyes of many who knew her and lived in her area, it calls to mind, this instance calls to mind, that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you tonight, again, thank you for listening, but if you're not converted, you're not a Christian, I want to say to you that however far your sins have taken you, the Lord can reach you. And however much your sins have influenced the way others view you tonight, your sins, just like this woman's, can be forgiven. So therefore, please, don't turn a blind eye to what we say. Please don't push away the lessons that we try to learn tonight. Do not dismiss the relevance of the story before us to you as an individual man or woman. I want this evening to look with you for a while at an outstanding sinner's greatest news. An outstanding sinner's greatest news. In verse 47, the Lord Jesus is speaking. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Her sins which are many are forgiven. We're looking then at an outstanding sinner's greatest news. Please notice with me, first of all, if you would, that there is this lady trapped. This woman was a woman of the street. She was a harlot. Now, we're not certain of her background and how long she had been in this particular state of living. But some things are certain. There was her condition. She was trapped in her awful sin. And before anyone tonight begins to think that she is an outstanding sinner as far as the Lord is concerned, please do bear in mind what it says in John 8 and 34. It says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Yes, this woman before us, undoubtedly she was in a condition that was outstanding before the eyes of man. She was trapped in her sin, but let's be honest tonight, men and women, if you're not saved, how long have you been in a similar situation? The hymn writer said in one of the lines of one of their hymns, in evil long I took delight. There are thousands this evening are taking delight in their sin. In fact, they're trapped in it. And something else to think about. There are multitudes trapped in their sin tonight, and they don't know they're trapped. You go into a very, very dark room. No window. It's very dark. And in that room, there is some items of furniture. But when you go in, it's so dark that you cannot see anything at all. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And we've done this on occasions before, and we know it to be true. If you go into that room which is totally dark and you stand there for a while, you stay in it for a time, then you begin to be able to see faint outlines of items of furniture. Now, they may never appear to you in that room to be anything more than faint outlines, but the message is this, that the darkness doesn't appear to be so dark after all. Or should I say, the darkness doesn't appear to be so dark after a while. And are you one of those people tonight who has lived perhaps for quite a while? You're still trapped in darkness. You're not involved in what this woman was involved in. But we're all brought together when the Bible shows us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you're trapped in this darkness, and maybe you don't even see it as darkness. Maybe there's someone somewhere in the comfort of their own home, maybe in Northern Ireland tonight, and you're doing things. You're like many people that I grew up with and many people that I still know today, and they're involved in what they can do. And it seems so acceptable to so many people what they are doing that it doesn't seem like they're still in darkness. And the Bible tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's the way that they're on. They're on that way, or in that way, that seemeth right unto a man. They don't see it as darkness. But remember, the Lord sees in our hearts. And as he looked at this woman, there was a woman who was trapped. There was her condition. She was a sinner. And if you're not saved, you're still in your sin. But there's not only her condition, there was the consequences. James 1 and verse 15 tells us that sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. This poor woman had never came to where the Lord was, and she'd gone on, and in due course she had passed away, then she would have proved the words that James spoke to be absolutely true. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It may entertain for a while. It will likely torment for a while. But then it will damn you in hell forever. There are people on this day, sadly, who have already proved that. Gone out into eternity without the Lord. How often, when we've heard of someone who's passed away, and people want to be kind, and they say something like this: it's far better for them now. There's no suffering now. And on many occasions, that individual that's been spoken of is someone who never made any profession of Christ. And on many occasions, had no time for the gospel. People blinded to what the consequences of sin really are. Some years ago, there was a person I'd known for a few years. I didn't know them particularly well, but I got to know them a bit. And suddenly, at a young age, they passed away. I went up to the funeral service, and on one of the wreaths that was there, I couldn't help but notice these words. Someone had put on, no doubt they were a well-meaning person, someone had put on the words, "Safe in the arms of Jesus." Now, I'm not being judgmental at all, but I knew the person well enough to know that they had never, in the times that I had saw them, indicated in any way that they were a Christian. They had never professed faith in Christ. They had never in any way shown anything to indicate that they even believed the Bible. Folks, they lived in their sin. And they were gone out into eternity very quickly indeed. I can't judge, but don't overlook the consequences of sin and dying in sin. There's a verse in one of our hymns that says, at the river of Jordan, and the Jordan in the scripture refers to crossing the river Jordan, refers sometimes to death. To that place where we will all go one day. We will all cross the river. Cross over to be with the Lord. Or when we go out into death, we'll go out without him. It says, at the river of Jordan, you're alone. And it goes on to say, friends can't help or ease your pain. All your riches, they are in vain. At the river of Jordan, you're alone. Answer a question alone tonight. Are you still trapped in your sin? Are you aware of the consequences of dying in your sin? This woman was trapped. There was her condition, her consequences, but there was her conviction. She realized that she needed to get to the Lord. She was in the grip of a tyrant, and it's called sin. And convinced that she needed a remedy, convinced that she needed deliverance from the state that she was in. For her, she was convinced now that she was trapped and she needed released. hymn writer said, I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, Christ my Saviour lifted me, now safe am I. I wonder, can you truly say that tonight? Can you say that you've been lifted out of sin? Has gospel truth shown you that sin is nothing but a tyrant? There'll be some listening. You're still trapped. Well, this woman was trapped. But there's not just her being trapped. There was her turning. You see, she was convinced that if she was to turn, she had to get to the Lord and turn, then he would pardon her and he would welcome her if she come just as she was. And folks, she was absolutely 100% correct. Over there in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 9, Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, says there in verse 10, in the context here of the Lord Jesus sitting down with people, it says, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. You see, the Lord always had time for the sinner. He always had a concern. It says there in verse 13, these are the words of the Lord, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He comes down and he sits with sinners and he speaks with sinners and he saves sinners if they come to me. Luke in his gospel in chapter 15 in verse 2 said, this man, it says, it's recorded there, this man receiveth sinners. We're looking here at this woman's turning. Her background was terrible. But all was changing. There was her turning because there was her understanding. She knew that Jesus was accessible to her. You look there in verse 37, I read it. It says, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She got to where he went. Her understanding was that he was accessible. You know, we're taught something over there in the book of Acts, chapter 17, and it's verse 27. If I can mention verse 26, that's one of the verses in the Bible that reminds us that we're all sinners. You ask people, how many races are there in the world? And some will say three, some will say many. It says in verse 26 of Acts 17, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth. Not being the case, we're all sinners. For Adam's sinful blood flows in her veins. But it says in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Then listen to these encouraging words. Though he be not far from every one of us. Though he be not far from every one of us. I wonder tonight, is your understanding such that you realize he's near to you tonight? Maybe you've been pursuing a reckless career. Maybe you've cursed the word of God sometimes in your life. And maybe you're aware that you don't deserve mercy. He's not far away. And I trust tonight that your understanding will be opened and you will realize that he is accessible to you. And that if you seek him, he will be found of you. There is her undertaking, her understanding, but then there is her undertaking. In verse 37, she brought an alabaster box of oil. This was a token of her coming with all that she had. Sometimes people make New Year's resolution. A New Year's resolution is just to try to change your way. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ at conversion, it's not a change of way, it's a change of heart. And a change of eternal destiny. And there's someone tonight listening, and you're holding on to some special sin. Some pet sin. Or some fleeting circumstance, or some unhealthy relationship is holding you back from coming just as you are. She came as she was. Sin and all. Brought it all to the Lord. We're looking here at her turning. There was her understanding. There was her undertaking. But then we think of her unhidden remorse. In verse 38 of this chapter, it says in Luke's Gospel chapter 7 that she wept. She came along there and wept. And surely in that verse we see her contrition, her sorrow, her repentance. You know, I have watched on YouTube people laughing their heads off and saying they've come and found Jesus. I don't find it in the Bible. Well, there's plenty to be joyful about when you do come to him. But there's no sorrow for sin there. This woman was sorry for her sin. And sorrow for sin can lead to true and genuine godly repentance. Vindicates brokenness. Sense of need. I want to say to you tonight, I wonder, have you remorse because of your sin? This woman's remorse was unhidden. Everyone could see. It doesn't matter tonight if we can see your remorse or not. The Lord needs to see it. And you can look at your life and you can take your shattered dreams of what sin would do for you, but rather you look back on the nightmare of what sin has done to you. You can take your broken life because of sin, whenever sin had promised you so much and didn't deliver. You can take your hopeless future as you see it and bring it to the Lord now and find something better. Her unhidden remorse. Notice something else. There was her unashamedness. Verse 36 of that chapter 7, she came there and I believe she knelt. She had to do that because she kissed the feet of the Lord. You know, that's indicative of embracing him. The word of God tells us in another scripture, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Kiss, it carries the meaning of embracing. Come and embrace him. And I wonder, have you embraced him? One of the hymns says, if I rightly read thy heart, if thou all compassion art, bar thine ear in mercy low, pardon and accept me now. That's the way she came. She came just as she would. Tell me, man or woman, have you turned? What an awful state she was in. She was trapped. And maybe you are too. She was trapped, but then there was her turning. But finally there is his tenderness. We look there in verse 44 and right through to verse 46. He commends this woman for coming and weeping and pouring the ointment upon his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. You see, when a sinner comes just as they are, the Lord receives them as they are, and he makes them into a new creature. This woman was now changed. The Lord said to her, for her sins, which were many, are forgiven. Those were the very best words that she could ever hear, and hence we have the title of the message tonight, An Outstanding Sinner's Greatest News. An outstanding sinner's greatest news was, thy sins which were many, or sins which were many, they're all forgiven. I wonder, do you know that forgiveness tonight? There was the approval of the Lord. There was her acquittal in that verse as well. I read to you, in fact, the next verse, verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. What great words. Words of approval. Words of acquittal. Words of assurance that all is well, and you've never heard them. Because you've never come. You've never come as a sinner to the Lord. You know, when we get the title to this message, An Outstanding Sinner's Greatest News, it says there that her sins, which were many, they're forgiven. And the next verse, the Lord turns to her and says, thy sins are forgiven. An outstanding sinner, that's all of us. All of us in our unsaved state. What a turnaround there was in her life. What a transformation there was for her. And before you go away from the screen tonight, I wonder, will you not come as you are to him? Maybe people are praying for you. Maybe someone out of love and care and concern invited you to watch the broadcast this evening. Think of the words of another hymn. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face. Would not hearken to his calls, grieved him with a thousand falls. You see, without Christ, our life will be nothing but falls. And then one day, we will fall into hell forever. But you can come. You can come tonight if you will come. Sin is an awful tyrant, but Christ is a tender shepherd. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I trust I've said enough tonight, and that the Lord will speak to your heart, and that this night someone somewhere will find their peace with God. May the Lord be pleased to use his word to speak to your heart.